You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 67. I got this just right before I stood up here a while ago, so I better go ahead and preach on this. Now, I shoot from the hip, you know that. Sometimes I know exactly what I'm going to minister on. Sometimes I think I know exactly what I'm going to minister on. And then God changes it, but that's okay. But I got this stirring in me, just came to me right before the song service is over. Psalm 67, nothing new. It's a psalm that we've taught on before and read before. I hope you've read the Psalms. Amen. But, you know, something unique here that we'll see as we get into this is, first of all, God is good all the time. And the devil, of course, is bad all the time. And bad things happen in your life. It's not God. God's not doing that. You know, there's this mantra that we hear a lot in churches, and we are a church. And it sounds good, it sounds respectful and honorable, but we'll say things like God's in control. But the problem with that is the Bible says just the opposite of that. The Bible says a lot of things you do, and God didn't have anything to do with. You know, I read this on Facebook the other day, which is a great place to get truth. Well, they can't put it on there if it's not true, right? I mean, it's Facebook, so. But I thought this was real good, and it says something like this. It says, I believe there's a reason for everything that happens, and sometimes it's because of my own stupid mistakes. Are you with me? There is a reason for everything that happens, but it doesn't mean God's behind everything that happens. Sometimes it's your fault, sometimes it's the devil, and sometimes it's God. God is wanting to control our lives, but he doesn't have full control of our lives. Oh, come on. Can you honestly say and arrogantly say that God has full control of your life? There's a lot of areas I'm working on. He's got control of some areas. I'm working on some other areas. Are you with me? Now, he wants full control. And I'd like to say God is in control. But he's in control if we allow him to be in control. You say, that doesn't sound right. Well, that's the world that God made, and God can make any world he wants to. Amen. Let's don't take away from God's power. Of course, God is, you know, sovereign in the sense that he made the world, but he made the world where your will mattered. He made the world where your choices matter. He could have made a world where your choices don't matter, that it doesn't matter what you do. He's going to control everything that happens. He just didn't happen to make the world that way. He could have, because he's God. He can do whatever he wants to. But God chose to give you free will. He chose to give you the choice to serve him or not. So your love actually means something. You weren't forced to serve him. You weren't forced to accept him. Are you with me? You were created to serve him, but you have a choice to do it or not. Your fulfillment in your life, and you'll find what life's all about when you start serving God, but you don't have to do that. You can reject that and rebel against that. That's why there are people in hell, and that's why there's people in heaven. Are you with me? And God would love to have everybody in heaven, but not by force. He wants them by love. Because although God is power, he's also love. Amen? Y'all getting that? Yeah. Don't go out and slam someone who says something about God being in control. That's not what we're saying. I'm not trying to correct everybody out there. We're just teaching. We're preaching the word here. And I believe it'll help you. It'll help you understand God, to know that God relinquished control by choice. He chose to relinquish control. He could have held on to it, but he let it go. He let you have some control and some choice. And that way, when you choose him, it means something. When you choose to love him, it means something. Amen? He didn't force you to. He didn't push a button and pull a lever and make you serve him. You chose to do so. And that was by his choice. This world is God's world. It's his universe. And he makes the rules. You don't. And that's the rules. The rules are that you have to willfully come to him. He's not going to make you do it. But if you will, he'll bless you because he's good and he loves you and he's for you. And he's done everything with you in mind. That's good stuff. Amen? That's a God who doesn't force us, but God who loves us nonetheless. And who wants our best if we'll come to him. Psalm 67, found it? Yes. In Psalm 67, it says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Selah is just a Hebrew word. It means stop and think about that. Pause. Oh, meditate on that. You know, it's like stopping when you're eating and just go, that's good. You know, that's kind of what it was going on there. Every once in a while, he'd make a statement that was so good and so profound that by the Holy Ghost, he'd put in there, Selah. Stop and think about that. Amen. And I love that because he was chewing on it. He was meditating on it. He was really ingesting this and digesting this. He wasn't just saying things. He was writing by the Spirit, and he'd pause and he'd savor the flavor. You know, he'd take a moment and just enjoy that aroma, that scent, that taste, that word, that promise, that goodness that he just talked about. And what he wanted us to meditate on, stop and pause about, is that God is merciful to us, and God blesses us, and God causes his face to shine upon us. Now, this is the way they pray in the Bible. You ever notice if people never pray, God, hurt me. God, make my day miserable. Hello. God, I'm just doing so great. Would you please make me sick? You know, they didn't pray like that in the Bible. And there's a reason for that, because God doesn't do those things. I mean, just follow Jesus. Jesus healed the sick, raised dead, cast out devils, stopped storms, gave to the poor. He said that he's seen me, seen the Father. He's the one that said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He never killed anybody, never made anybody sick, never started any storm, and never took anybody's money away from him. Think about it. You can follow him on the shores of Galilee, in the streets of Capernaum, watch him do miracles, signs, and wonders. And they were constantly accusing him, the religious crowd, of doing good. They're always trying to catch him healing people in the Sabbath or catch him forgiving someone caught in the act of adultery. He was known to be a forgiver and a healer and a blesser and a miracle worker. In fact, those were the things they trapped him with. They watched him in the Sabbath see if he would heal this man to have a withered hand. They threw that woman down in front of him, caught in the very act of adultery. And he was not for adultery. God is against sin, but God's for the sinner. He wants to restore, and he wants to build you back up and repair the wall, as it were. If you've been in sin, listen, it's bad. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. And God's against it, but God's for you. And if you'll come back to him, he'll help you and he'll heal you. They threw that woman down. They said, the law says, stoner, what do you say? And of course, he said, he's without sin. Let him cast the first stone. I got no stones to throw. How about you? I mean, everybody's got skeletons in their closet. I want to help people. I don't want to go back over my sins and my past. And no sense in going about over yours either. We got one direction we can go here, and that's forward. Amen? And we got to get up on our feet. And he told that woman, he says, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. And he said, neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't condone what was happening. He recognized the fact that she sinned. He told her it was wrong. But he said, I'm not judging and accusing you. Come out of your sin and do right. Amen? Isn't that good? That should be the message that we have for people, is that God loves. God's against sin. Sure he is. But, you know, the message is, come out of your sin. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to keep living that way. You don't have to keep doing that. What you're doing is wrong. I don't hate you. God doesn't hate you. But you got to quit that. That's going to hurt you. It's going to mess you up. Are you with me? And the world is messed up as it is because of sin. But sometimes the church is messed up because of accusations and judgment, because we're so hard about trying to get people out of their sin. We're condemning them in the process. Let's condemn the sin and let's compel and love the sinner. Amen? So he says here, notice what it says. God be merciful to us. This is the way they prayed. This is the way you should pray, because this is what God is, God, or who God is. God is not bad. God is good. God doesn't hate you. God loves you. God's not wanting you to suffer the consequences of your actions. God's wanting you to repent of your sins and walk in the blessing and walk in the glory. Amen? God wants you to get under the spout where the glory comes out. He really does.
Yes, he does.
But the problem is you're in the wrong spot. You're in the wrong position. And he's trying to get you in position. I mean, all the Bible is about is getting you in position so God can help you. Getting you where he can bless you, where he can mature you, where he can promote you, where he can bless your marriage, where he can bless your family and your business and so on. But you have all the teaching, all the commandments, all the Bible is trying to get us where God can help us, because he wants to help us. And he's good. He's always good, and he never changes, and he's always in the right spot, but we're not. And so we need to learn to come to him. We need to cry out to him. We need to see him for who he is. We need to know that he is our friend and for us, not against us. He's not our problem. He's not putting us through something. He's not putting us through this pain to teach us something. If that's the case, I know people that die in that. I know people that actually get paralyzed and live their whole lives paralyzed and die. What in the world is God trying to teach them? And many of those never accepted Jesus. They died and went to hell. They didn't learn a thing. I mean, the idea that God's doing this to us to teach us, that's just foreign to the Scripture. Many times it's a result of our sin. Sometimes it's a result of the sin of the world that we live in. Every time something bad happens to you, it's not your fault. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just the world. We live in a broken, fallen world. If you want to blame somebody, blame Adam. He's the one who started the whole ball rolling. Are you with me? He's the one that brought sin in the world, and through sin come death. And we've been sinning and dying ever since, you know. So sometimes directly our fault, sometimes just the world we live in. How could you blame a baby for being born with a deformity? Whose sin was that? You know, you can't blame the parents. Come on. Now, Jesus already addressed that. There was a man crippled, remember? And they said, whose sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither one of them. We're not in heaven. We're going to get to heaven. Hallelujah. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And there's no sickness up there. There's no dying up there. No crying, no sighing, no dying, no fire ants, red bugs, or chiggers. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything's lovely, wonderful up there. Hallelujah. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And so we face a lot of issues and a lot of trials and a lot of crises. But we got help. We got hope. We got prayer. Amen. And this is what was going on in some of these trials. Dave was crying out. He said, God, be merciful to me. Be merciful. Bless me. Bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us. See, you want God's face shining on you. If God's face is shining on you, it's going to be good. Amen. It's going to be good. Well, I don't know if I could stand that gaze and that look. No, that look and that gaze will actually melt you. It's so good. In fact, when you get to heaven, you look in those eyes. Oh, man, it's overwhelming, the goodness of God. It won't be hate, you see. It'll be love. It'll be love like you've never seen before. You know, I often said this, and I don't remember where I read it. I'm sure I read it somewhere. It's not that I plagiarize. I just don't remember where I read things, you know. But in every life, you know, you experience moments of good, moments of joy, moments of happiness. You know, some days are tough, but, you know, everybody's had good days. And everybody's had good experiences. I don't care if you're Christian or not, you've had that. But as a Christian, see, we know where that comes from. That's the thing. We understand where it comes from. But when we get to heaven, I really believe this. It's just me. I think this. I can see it. Makes sense to me. Fits well, you know, sets well with me, in my spirit. That when I get to heaven and I see Jesus and the veil falls off and all the confusion falls off, and Paul said we now see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, but then one knows we are known. When I see in full light, in full revelation, in full truth, without any sin, I'm in heaven now, and I'm looking at Jesus, and I look in those eyes, all those good times, all that joy, all those times he protected me, all the times everything went right that day, all the times everybody was on my side, Mr. Bluebird was on my shoulder. It's all going to come back, and we're all going to see in those eyes that it was him all that time. And I think it's going to be just an awakening moment, a revelation, where we're just going to say, that was you. That was you. I believe that because the only goodness in this world is God. The only goodness in your life is God. The only one that's ever stood behind you and protected you all your life was him. And you didn't always know it, but you'll know it when you get there. You'll see it. It'll be a revelation, and you will spend eternity thanking him and praising him and finding out about his goodness. That's what the Scripture says in Ephesians. It says, for eternity, we'll be learning about his great love for us. We kind of get the idea we're just going to praise him forever, but actually we're going to be finding out how much he loves us. As the years go by, I'll go, wow, man, you did that? Oh, wow, praise God. God, you really do love me. You love me so much, you know. Just awesome stuff, amen. So as we pray, like the psalmist here, we should pray for those things in our lives, that God would cause his face to shine on us. You don't want God to turn his face. You want God to face you. You know, the Bible says that on the cross, God turned his face because he couldn't look on sin. Okay? And then, of course, the psalmist also says that that his face is toward the righteous, but not the unrighteous. So it's not that God's given us a hard look. If God ever looks on us, it's good. It's when he looks away that it's bad. People say, well, all this bad stuff happened around here. What is God doing? Actually, he's doing nothing. When God does nothing, bad things happen. Well, what happened to Katrina over there, you know, in New Orleans where all that took? What was God doing there? Actually, God wasn't doing anything. That wasn't God doing that. You know, when God removes his hand, that's when curses come. It's not when he puts his hand on us. It's when he removes his hand. When God turns his face, that's when bad things happen. When he looks on us, his face shines. Are you with me? Because that's what God is. Actually, our sins bring things on us, and the world, sometimes the world's sin brings things on us, but that's the absence of God, not the presence of God. See, in contrast, God is good, so the absence of God would be bad. God is holy, so the absence of God would be evil. So most of the time bad things are happening is because God's not there. We haven't invited him. We haven't prayed in his name. We hadn't called on him to help us. So now he is calling God to help. Why would he call God to help? Because God's not there and he's having trouble. He needs God to show up because there's trouble. Are you out there? Right here in River City. We got trouble. So we need God to show up. So we call on him because when he shows up, whoo, he shows out. He does. Amen. And trouble goes, and healing comes, and victory comes. Hallelujah. God has shined his face upon us, and he has been merciful to us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? And he says, in a bigger picture, second verse, that your way may be known upon the earth. In other words, we've been experiencing sin. We've been experiencing destruction. We've been experiencing pain. We've been experiencing famine. Lord, be merciful to us. We call on you now to cause your face to shine upon us that the world may see your way and not what we've been experiencing. Because all this stuff we've been experiencing is not you. Y'all catching it? I'm praying that your way would be known because what we're knowing right now is not your way. Y'all see that? I'm just reading it, just what it says. That, this purse, this intent, this purpose, I'm praying for this to happen so that your way may be known upon the earth. Your saving health among all nations. See, the world has a picture of God that's pretty bad sometimes, and sometimes it's our fault. As churches, as Christians, as believers, we've painted such a bad picture. Even as little kids, we've said things like, oh, you better watch out. God's going to get you for that. Well, no, actually not. Your sin will get you for that. The devil will get you for that. You jump off a roof, you'll hit ground. That's called gravity. You can't blame God for that. I mean, that's just, you just shouldn't have jumped off the roof, you know. I can give you a real spiritual insight into that. Just don't jump off the roof, you know. are you out there? We need God to show up, and God doesn't just show up at random. God shows up as we pray. He shows up as we call. He shows up as we cry out to him. Hallelujah. And if he's ever moved in our life, it's always been good. It's always been a good time. It's been a protection. It's been a blessing. It's been, and we're going to see that when we get to heaven, that he's been good all the time. Always been that way. This helping anybody? Well, y'all need to amen a little more. Take that your way, not the way we've been experienced, not the things we've been going through. That's why we're praying, God, so you could help us. Be merciful to us, God, because we need it. And bless us because we're not blessed right now. And what's going on right now is not you. And we're calling on you to come show up so that your way may be known upon the earth. I'll tell you when God is seen on earth, when Christians pray. I'll tell you when God is seen on earth, when Christians trust him, believe him, call on him, and worship him and praise him. God is seen when the church gets together. God is seen when people get on their knees. God is seen when people cry out to him. That's when God is seen. There's a lot that goes on in the world that God's not behind. It happened because of sin, and sin happened because God gave everybody a choice, including Adam, and he made the wrong one. You can't blame God for Adam's wrong choice, and you can't blame the consequences of Adam's wrong choice, which is death and sin, on God. That was Adam's choice. Mm. Y'all catching this?
Yes.
So he says that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving health among the nations. We need to pray for a lot of reasons. We need to pray to get help, and we need to pray so the world can see God. Y'all out there. It really is bigger than you. I need to be blessed. I need God to move my life. I need to get over pain. I need to get over suffering. I need to get through that, not just because God loves me, which he does, not because it's just bad, and that stuff is bad, and it is, not because I need to experience the promises, which I do, but even beyond that, the world needs to see God moving in my life. The world needs to see that there is hope in a terrible situation. The world needs to see there is help in the time of loss. There is someone you can call on that'll show up and show out and bless you and get you on your feet again. Hallelujah. Amen. The world needs to see his saving health. And if we don't call, who is going to call? If not now, where? When? If not here, where? If not you, who? Suffering, sighing, dying humanity is waiting for a man or a woman of God to stand up and believe God and trust God and stand on the word and call on God. Walk in his presence. That's us. Amen? There's a needy world out there, praise God. And you and I, we've got the answer. We have got the answer in Jesus that the world is looking for. Woo! So he says this. He says in the third verse, let the people praise thee. Oh God, let all the people praise thee. I like that. We need to learn to praise and learn to rejoice. Why? For his goodness. We don't thank God for badness. We thank him for goodness. We don't thank him for evil. We thank him for his holiness. We don't thank him for hate. We thank him for love. We don't thank him for the mess. We thank him for getting us out of the mess. Amen? The message that we get out of the mess, the testimony we get out of the test. We thank him for the help and the healing and the deliverance. So he says, let all the people praise thee. O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah, stop, think about that. Well, now, why would we rejoice? Because God's good. Why would we praise him? Because he's always had our best interest in mind. Because he's our hope and our help and our healing. Hallelujah. Because he's our deliverance and our triumph. Praise God. Because he's the one we run to in the time of trouble. Not because he's our problem, because he's our answer. That's why we rejoice. That's why we're glad. That's why we sing. Oh, hallelujah. Thou hast turned my mourning, the Bible says. My weeping, mourning. My weeping into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Thou hast girded me with gladness. That's what the psalmist said. Y'all know that song? That's an old song we used to sing. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast done something else. Thou hast girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me, and thou hast girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he's done. We thank him because he took us out of the sadness. Hallelujah. He turned our sadness into gladness. Woo! Amen. Put off my sackcloth. Praise God. Gave me joy. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know that one, don't you? Put on a garment. With prayer. Come on. And then the fire of the Lord. Put on a garment of praise for the Spirit. I can't get the tune right. But anyway, yeah, that's it. That's the one. Put on a garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. Put off that sackcloth. Praise God. When it says this, let the people praise thee. Amen. There's a garment of praise. You wear praise better than you do griping, moaning, groaning, and agony on in. Yes. Life is more than hee-haw. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. So put on praise. Put on a garment of joy. Talk about the goodness of God because he is good. Talk about his deliverances because he's done them. Talk about the victories that you've had, because you've had lots of them, praise God. Talk about how he's always come through for you and has always been there for you. See, put on a garment of praise. Put on this, put on praise here. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O fourth verse, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah, stop and think about that. Let the people praise thee, fifth verse. O God, let all the people praise thee. Then, sixth verse, then shall the earth yield her increase. Wow. Then, when? After we praise him. After we call on him. And after we rejoice in him. In fact, prayer, you know, see, prayer is a positive thing. In fact, you ought to end prayer with praise. You know, the consummation of your faith, in other words, if you're really believing, faith ends in thankfulness, faith ends in gratefulness, faith ends in praise. You know, it says Abraham in the 4th chapter of Romans, it says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Whoa, I like that. One translation says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Another translation says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And so giving glory to God, it means we believe. We believe he's going to do what he says. And praising him and worshiping him causes increase to come. Woo! You looking for some increase? You tired of living in a dry land? You looking for some water to come down? Well, start praising God. Amen. Start worshiping God for his goodness. Start calling on his mercy. Start asking for his face to turn toward you. Start asking him to help you and get you out of this mess you're in. Start asking him to show up, move in your life. Start asking for a performance from him instead of your own performance. Hallelujah. You've already performed. You don't need an encore. You need to get God to perform. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that Mary, it says there was a performance of those things that were told her by the Lord because she believed. Start believing God and you'll get a performance. God will act out the promise. He'll work it out in your life. He'll manifest it in your life. Things will start turning around and changing. Things will start popping up out of the ground. Increases start coming. Hallelujah. Promotions start coming. People start calling you on the phone. Hallelujah. Your life will turn around because you're facing him. And he's facing you. Amen? Amen. That's good stuff. See, Isaiah says this in Isaiah 55, 10, 11. It says, as the rain come down, as the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, which is you. And it says, you shall go out with joy, and you shall be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Instead of the thorn tree shall rise up the myrtle tree. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, good things happen when you get God's word in your life. And you look to him, amen, and trust him and believe him. Is this helping anybody? Oh, come on, live a life of praise. Live a life of thanksgiving. Come on, turn the thing around. Reverse the curse. Don't rehearse the curse. Reverse the curse. Don't rehash the trash. Take out the trash. Don't talk about everything bad going on. Start talking about how good God is. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Osteen used to always say, quit talking to God about how big your mountain is. Start talking to your mountain about how big your God is. Hallelujah. Amen. He's bigger than the mountain. He's greater than the problem. He's bigger than depression. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, fifth verse, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. That's what you've been waiting on. That's what God's been waiting on. You need to get an attitude of victory about you. You need to get an attitude of praise about you. You need to start stop whining and start moaning and groaning and stop criticizing, stop being so critical and skeptical and start praising God and thanking God for goodness. Your best days are yet to come. Quit hanging around in the mully grubs and what they used to call a brown funk. You know, falling a funk. You ever heard of that? Okay. All right. Well, that's just... get down. You know, don't get down, get up. That's what we're saying. And it's an attitude. You know, you can start complaining. I can complain about everything. I mean, we could turn the news on. We could talk about politics. We could talk about everything going wrong, and that wouldn't take long at all. to change the atmosphere. You know, one thing, I got tickled. Like, we went down to Surfside. We were on vacation this last week. I came in early to do the funeral. But we went down there with the family, and we were there. We left Sunday afternoon. Went to see Mama, and then Monday went down to Surfside. And where we were, you didn't have internet. I mean, you had a phone signal you could get a little on, but I couldn't get anything on my iPad or anything, and it was wonderful. We had a TV. I never turned it on the whole time. Never turned a TV on one time. I mean, it was just awesome. I was getting refreshed, just, you know, thinking about the goodness of God. We were over there with Terry's family, and we were talking about the Lord and, you know, walking the beach and everything, and it was just so refreshing. And that, to me, that part of Texas, I used to work in all those chemical plants down there in Freeport, which is right there by Surfside. And in fact, we go right by every one of those plants. I've worked in every one of them. Oyster Creek Chemical Plant, which is right there by Bucky's. Y'all know about Bucky's, don't you? They're everywhere. We used to get ice at that store and go out to the construction job and work years. I'm talking years ago, back in the 70s, when I was five. But I remember I was telling Brenda, as we were going down the road, we're going to a store or something and driving by one of those plants. And I said, you know, that was the plant I was. That was a plant I was in one day. And everybody had, we'd take breaks. Everybody had to take a break. In the chemical plant, you got to wear his mask and everything. And I was a carpenter working on cooling towers, and we'd all take our belts off, two belts off, and walk off to a special room for a break. You had to go inside a closed room there for a break. And I kind of got separated from everybody. No big deal. It wasn't a big deal. I was just the last one coming out of the tower, and I took my belt off. And I heard the voice of God. I was working on a construction job, but I was saved. I'd gotten saved. And I never will forget it. I remember it distinctly. It was like I was just stepped into a zone, you know, like in sci-fi movies, you step into a dimension or something. I was standing there, and I just heard God say, just simple two words. He said, "You're mine." And I knew that I wasn't going to be doing that for long. I knew that God had other plans for me. And it was there. It was at that place and that time. And I was so glad that God nudged me here and nudged me there and nudged me this way and that way. I was so glad I finally gave in and obeyed God. Because, see, I didn't really want to teach when God called me to teach. You may not believe that, but I didn't. And I didn't want to pastor when God wanted me to pastor. I'd never really personally wanted to do. It's not that I was rebellious. I just didn't want to do that. I didn't have plans to do that. I am so glad I obeyed, because now I wouldn't want to do anything else. But at the time, it just wasn't in my thinking. I love God. I was born again. I was telling everybody about Jesus. But I didn't want to be a teacher, and I sure didn't want a pastor. But see, God didn't really, he wouldn't listen to me. He just kept on me. We'd bought a place in Center, and I only lived there a month or two after I got saved. And I'd bought some land and 3 acres behind this house. And I'd said one late in the evening, I was by myself. I'd borrow my dad's pickup. I'd come up from Houston. And I was putting a big cross tie on the corner, and I was tamping it. You know how you take a hole and you put dirt in the hole to tamp the cross tie. You put a little dirt and you tamp it. They call it tamping. But anyway, it was late in the evening, and it's like the wind started blowing a little bit, like the cool of the evening when God used to talk to Adam. And I was looking across that, and I was looking up at my little house I'd gotten. It had a little log bin there and some big oak trees, and I just had all these plans. And God, man up, come on. Didn't get any sleep last night. That's your excuse. I'll just use that one too. But I was putting that cross tie, and I was looking across there where I was going to put this fence, and I heard the voice of God again. And he said, just as plain as day in my spirit, he says, "No, son, I got other plans for you." So I finished the cross tie, got in the pickup, and I never went back. We never went back to that place. Yeah. I wind up selling it years later and put the down payment on the house I'm living in right now. Been living for 32 years. But see, God is so good. He nudged me. He pushed me. I can get a zig a little here and zag a little there, but God still worked with me, you know. He'd still, I could have rebelled, but I obeyed. I said, yes, God, I'll do that. I'll do that. I just, okay, you know, walk away. I'm going to tell you, if God wants you to do something and you're doing the wrong thing, you need to walk away. You just need to walk away, and you need to do what God's wanting you to do. Because God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. My life has been so good. My life has been so blessed. But it's because I listened to God. I heard him. I did what he said to do. You know, I didn't rebel against it. I mean, I did initially. I kind of fought it sometimes. But I finally just gave in, and I did what he said to do. And he's just blessed me and blessed my children and blessed my family. And I've got such good kids and grandkids, and I've got a great church. My goodness, I'm telling you what, I'm just grateful. I'm a grateful man. But it's the goodness of God that keeps me going. It's because I know how good he is. I know that he always has my best interest in mind. He's never asked me to do anything that he didn't want to help me and make me a better person. Never. He's never asked me to refuse something. He's never asked me to do something where he wasn't trying to help me. That's all in the world God wants to do. He wants to help you. He's not being mean. He's not just giving you orders. He just, I know this is wild, but he actually knows more than you do. He really does. And he wants to help you. And you need to learn how to praise him, amen, and thank him. Okay, let me close this out because I just blubbered all over the end of this one. Anyway, it says, then shall the earth yield her increase. When we praise him, we get right. When we start calling on him, we get right, and we start giving him the glories due to his name. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. He shall bless us. And the last verse, only seven verses in this little psalm, says, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. In other words, everybody will see it. And they'll see Jesus in our lives. They'll see his hand upon our lives. They'll see his blessing in our lives. I don't care how many times you fail. I don't care how many times you sin. I don't care how many times you rebel and turn away from God. You can now, from this day forward, you can go forward. You can. You can turn it all around. God's not asking you to do anything about your past. There's nothing you can do about it. But he is definitely asking you to do something about your future. Amen. You cannot unscramble eggs. You cannot undo what was done. But you can go forward. Hallelujah. You can call on his name, and your life can turn around. Anybody testify your life been better since you served God? Oh, my goodness. I shudder to think where I'd be, where my kids would be, or my grandkids would be, or if I'd even be around. I know I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for God, because we chose to serve him. Hallelujah.